K-Mud Podcast presents.
This is Tech Mud right here on K-Mud. And we are here to talk about technology, the good, the bad, and the downright scary. And as always, we will be here to try and answer your tech-related questions. And I'm joined by Rick this evening. Hey, Rick, how are you doing?
Good, Garth. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Oh, good. It's a different device I'm using. I unfortunately had a little mishap with my last one. My battery swelled, went to replace it, and I broke the glass. So anyway, it happens.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Been there. I realized that I'm good at some things, but I'm not good at cell phone repair, and I leave that to other people.
It's hard to do, you know, and the thing is, I watched the YouTube and everything, but what got me wrong was the fact that it was swelling. It actually had popped the glass up. That wasn't where I needed to open it at. You know, I mean, yeah. I was just like, you know, it happens. So anyway,
yeah.
Good. So yeah, we've got a lot to talk about here.
Oh, it seems like, can you believe this is only midway through the second month of the year? It seems like I've been here a long time already. It's crazy.
Yeah, the last 6 minutes.
I know. So we'll open the phone lines as we normally do at about half past the hour for your calls and questions at 923-3911. And yeah, we'll just delve into some tech news and some other stuff.
A lot happens.
You have anything you wanted to focus on?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I got your notes. I could do like a quick 5 minute briefing on the news, just things that are really cool.
Did you get any? I didn't read about it, but as I was traveling today, I heard like an NPR report about a Microsoft chip and like a breakthrough in quantum computing, possibly. Did you get any news about that?
Yeah, I did, but it wasn't on my target here.
No worries.
Yeah. Anyway, check this out. UK team has invented self-healing road surfaces. It goes in the regular pavement. It's pretty cool. When a road gets a crack, the pavement gets a crack, turns into a pothole once it gets water in it. And they've come up with this bio kind of organic spores that hold this oil. They've been soaked in oil. And when they break open, they form the seal, which is really cool.
It seals potholes is what it does.
It basically keeps potholes from happening by sealing cracks. And it's organic. It takes about an hour for the, given the right temperatures. There's a dumb electrical code coming down that's going to impact most common people who charge their EVs at home. And it's really kind of a stupid thing in a way. The electric code, which is this fire protection agency, NAPTA, they write electric codes every 3 years.
And that's what everyone goes by. It's what you have to be certified on.
They're going to make it where it's only going to be 5 milliamperes for the ground fault detector to happen if you charge your car with the slow charge. You know, like you don't have that dedicated connection thing where it costs a bunch of money to install in your garage. If you try to use a regular outlet, you're going to have to do the ground faults are going to kick. And so basically, even at 15 milliamps, it would be a challenge. Right now, it's 25. And at 15 milliamps, it would be a challenge to keep.
So would this be 5 milliamps? Like a new,
pretty much kills it. It's going to be part of the new code coming out.
A new standard. So
yeah.
The outlets in your garage in a new building.
Right. Well, it's not the outlets in your garage. What it's going to do is kill your ability to use a standard outlet. And so it almost feels like a conspiracy. Jeep just introduced something in their cars, which I kind of despise, but basically it's going to be a pop-up ad. When you, every time you come to a stop, your console is now going to display an ad. Totally hate the concept. It's just a terrible thing to do. Microsoft did a quick study. It said that using AI kills your critical thinking skills. And you know what? It makes sense because there's another here report that police officers who use AI facial recognition, they arrest you because the AI said it was you, and they're not doing diligence of being a police officer. They're like ignoring.
Let me jump
rules.
In. I want to jump in on this one, Rick. I want to jump in on this one because I have a small AI story, which is it relates. I was dealing with an insurance agency, and I have this old truck that I need to like put on its own policy, but it barely moves. Right, it just like sits there. It's like and. And I don't drive it more than maybe 1500 miles a year or so. And the insurance people are going, well, no, our system says you drive it about 3,500, 4,000 miles a year.
Oh, I've been fighting that for years. I've got the same thing with one of my vehicles.
What's telling you this? Well, our system. I'm like, your system is, well, can I send you pictures to prove your system wrong? Well, no, nope. We just have to go with what our system says. So it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, it might not be AI in this case, but you know.
And I'll tell you what's happening with your situation is that they use the reporting that happens when you take your car to the shop and it reports your mileage.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you don't take your car to the shop, the insurance agency automatically, arbitrarily assigns you the average of a car.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what happens is if you've got because I've got that exact same thing and I've fought back and forth and I've actually gone to the point where I went to a shop and I'm not going to mention the shop or whatever. But what they did was I told them my situation. So they sold me, they wrote up the paperwork as selling me an air cleaner. And then they immediately refunded it saying it was the wrong size or the wrong
to get the mileage in the system.
Yeah. Put me in the system. But that's a real pain in the ass to do if you got to do that because you got the old vehicle that sits there. You want it insured. Okay, maybe it doesn't start, but you know if you get it started, you may need to drive it. And it's blasphemy.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's like they use their numbers
whatever numbers are more convenient, it seems. In the whole industry, whatever insurance type you're dealing with, it's.
Well, yeah, there's been a definite, there is a whole thing going on with artificial intelligence and data gathering and like companies like LexisNexis, which were around before you were born. I remember them in college and not having access to them because, well, that's only for the elite. You know, you got to pay big bucks. You know, so those companies set the insurance things. You know, they're the ones that say, okay, this is a risk and this is not. And we're up against a conspiracy. So, you know, I think that there's a lot to say for, you know, issues. I mean, AI has taken over. It's eating up video cards from what I understand. So what the heck?
I mean, I don't know if it's AI this time, or maybe let's just say it's another conspiracy. This is just a semi-local story because I'm dealing with trying to build some gaming systems for people. And it actually seems like it's not as crazy as it was back during the pandemic times where, you know, you would have to get on waiting lists and, or
same with like video conference cameras, you know? Yeah.
Just to get a video card and it was selling for like quadruple the retail price. But it looks we're in an in-between phase right now with NVIDIA cards specifically. So NVIDIA cards have like series, like I have a 2000 something, 2070 or something in my computer. And now they're just now releasing the 5000 series. So you can find lower end 3000 and 4000 series cards. There's nothing in the mid-range anymore because they've stopped manufacturing them. And they haven't really released the mid or low tier of the new series yet. So it's hard to get something on the high, like on that mid tier. And by mid tier, I'm talking a fairly expensive video card.
It's just $800
video card is mid tier.
Yeah.
The high tier is the 2000. If you want, you can buy the $2,000 video card. No problem. I'd be happy to sell it to you.
But I hate this part that's happening in the industry because you'll go out, you fork out the money, and you buy that high-end video card, and then what, a year or two later, they tell you how they're going to this other, you know, style of card or programming something, and then your card becomes obsolete. You know, this is the...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'm on this card that is, three generations older now, and I'm not wanting to upgrade. It does everything I needed to do, so, you know, that's good, I suppose.
Yeah. But you know, I got to tell you, I'm running into a lot of headaches with, upgrades and stuff where it's not the hardware that's the problem. It's the people who write the software telling me that, oh, that program you have or that hardware you have, you know, we don't support it anymore.
It's a
branch of what they're supporting, you know, it's.
I agree with you there. And there's also sometimes minimum requirements that shouldn't be there. They're written in a way. It's like, what does this program do that needs the $800 video card. You know, do you
Right.
really need that? No. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it is kind of interesting. So, but I, you know, I'm thinking about even changing the Linux Mint. What do you think of it?
Well, I was playing around with it. We briefly talked about this on our last show as a option for, you know, people that say they're needing to secure themselves. They want to, Microsoft is forcing them into Windows 11. Their hardware doesn't support it, or they're running something even older than that, and it's just kind of risky on the internet, or it's starting to get slower and slower. Linux Mint has a specific kind of lower end edition. It looks a little graphically. It looks fine graphically. Whatever. It looks like Windows XP era or something. Totally fine, but just minimal graphics. The less flashy stuff. It's called the Linux Mint XFCE edition, and I loaded that on some older Dell like dual core processor that probably was struggling with Windows 10. And it's snappy. It's snappy. It's quick. It boots up. I mean, there's a solid state in there, so it's fast. But it that's hardware that could not even come close to running Windows 11.
You know, and my biggest go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say my biggest wank is, you know, when you go to something like that, like a Linux, or whatever. If you're doing it to run the computer, because it, you know, somehow it has something to do with something you do, that's great. But if you're using it to connect to the internet, you know, it is, I mean, let's face it, if it's an old computer, it's going to have old vulnerabilities, and it's not really the salvier anymore. I mean, it helps, right? You can get away with it, but you run into like problems where you're going to be still keep upgrading. So I highly recommend anyone doing this, don't do the hardware install where you install it on your hard drive. Get someone to make you a bootable.
Yeah, I
a
mean,
boot
you can,
USB
you can run it
works
on a,
great.
I mean, sure, you can run it on a bootable USB, but honestly, I mean, I think it's probably much more secure than running an ancient version of Windows on the internet. And it's,
yeah,
this is
it
supported.
Is.
I mean, the software is supported until this version's like, I don't know, 2027 or something. And it's easy, it's like not hard to patch. You run like a little update utility that is just like the Windows
look,
update utility.
But here's what I've run into, okay? You know, all of a sudden, the archives or whatever, because when you patch Linux, it has to go through wherever it's been, you know, the stuff's been part of it. Those change.
Yeah, stored.
And so, you know, yeah, you run into that. The whole point that I suggest is that you run on USB, you leave your existing Windows on your computer, then when you go, you need to run that program, because you're not going to get that program, like, you know, whatever. I mean, maybe it's a CAD program,
yeah.
Maybe it's something.
I mean,
but you're not
going to
get the
yeah.
same one on
and
Linux,
I
so.
Agree with you on that. If you want a dual boot, by all means, I'm just kind of resurrecting old hardware, and it's mainly just so
sure.
you can run I mean, you can run your solitaire games, you can run stuff like that.
Let's face it, it becomes no more than a Chromebook. I mean, you know, I mean, in essence,
well,
you know.
Well, it's a Chromebook with the Linux library
some
of programs
tools.
Available.
Yeah. But I mean, but what happens is you know, you're not going to use it to download that newest game, play that, you know, go buy, you know, you're not going to do TurboTax
no.
on it. You know what I mean? You're just not, you know.
Well, these days they want to force you to a web page anyway. So
yeah,
that
that's
is,
right. You can go to that.
That
yeah,
is
yeah.
sort of the that is sort of the point though, is that it looks familiar enough for even like your, you know, granddad to grok. Is you load Firefox onto it if you're used to Firefox, and you load that up. It looks exactly the same as it looks like in a Windows machine. So
well,
you know,
not
you
exactly.
That
this is the whole point. When you're talking to granddads, they're really confused when something's not in where it used to be. So that's why I say you do it with the USB boot. Okay. If your hardware can't support USB boot, then you really are trying to resurrect something really old. And then if granddad freaks out because it doesn't work, pull the USB thing out. Okay, that's what I remember. You know what I mean? And you can plug it back. You know, then, you know.
There's
just,
also ways
the
to make it look exactly like Windows,
well,
like the version of Windows you want, because people have spent the time to, like, you know, code the background to make it look
I agree
like
with you.
Windows.
You can get something cosmetically, but you can't. You know, I mean, the whole point is it goes to show you that you can boot run your computer very efficiently from a USB drive. So what Microsoft sells us to put on a hard drive is insane. All right. They're putting all this backdoor stuff. You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, and they're making, and you're not going to be able to run Windows 10 here real soon. And even on Windows 11, Microsoft is cracking down on anyone who was able to install it on an older machine. You know, because they want you to have certain hardware, and it really looks like a conspiracy.
Quick local news story to jump out of that, that I actually just found out about today. I've been seeing these trucks going around Garberville mainly, but also starting in Redway. And it looks like, get this, Rick, Frontier, the local phone company who's abandoned us for like actual phone lines, is installing fiber to businesses and residential in, well, I looked at the map, it looks like Garberville, Redway, and even up the Alder Point Road a little ways. So
that's awesome, man. That's really
stay
awesome.
Stay tuned for that. That could be a game changer in terms of the, especially for businesses, for quality of internet.
You know, of course, you're going to pay $100 a month or $150 or whatever they're going to charge, but it's still, you know, and you think about it, Garth, this is one thing that has changed. From the days that they ran that fiber that went up Alder Point Road, and all through there, the technology has improved and changed so much. Now it is possible to install the electronics at the station and you run a fiber all the way to where you're going. You know, I mean, even when they did the whole thing with the cable company, wanted to do a link to Fortuna from Eureka, it was like it was going to have a repeater every so many miles. You know, by the time they got that project done, they could do it with only a couple repeaters. Now we're talking about
that technology has evolved quite a bit, and it's good to see. I mean, that maybe we'll actually see some more last mile stuff. Because I was surprised. I was like, oh, really? So you remember?
I think it got cost effective because now you just are stringing the thing across. You know, you're not even
it's just getting
and,
the wire.
And it's more reliable. Yeah, it doesn't have wire in it. You know, I mean, it doesn't get water in it. You know, I mean, it doesn't hurt it. It's by far. It's finally gotten to where it's cost effective, I think, is the secret here.
Hey, you're listening to Tech Mud right here on KMud. This is Garth, and we've got Rick on the line. We'll open up to calls here in about 10 minutes. But, we're just chatting tech news of the day. That was all I had pretty much for local stuff. But
what about this thing? You know, you were dealing with insurance companies. Was it Allstate?
No. But they did appear in my news feed. Apparently, Allstate's getting slammed with a lawsuit after it was gathering consumers' data, their driving data, without their consent. And we've certainly talked about that before. But it was using this app. Actually, I think some of my family uses this app. It's this Life 360. It's kind of a tracking app where, oh, hey, you can install it and you can, you know, keep track of where you're at and your friends know where you are. Apparently, Allstate was...
Oh, they were kind of the underwriter.
Was buying that data and not only were they buying it, collecting it, and then using it to raise their own customers' insurance rates, they were selling it to other insurance companies. They're like, hey, we got some data here. You want it?
Well, and that's the kind of stuff that goes in the Nexus Lex. You know what I mean? It gets uploaded from their whatever they are, you know, their partners. So hey, I'm confused here. You know, I this whole tracking thing, you know, Android is letting users opt out, but then Google's policy wants to track everything with no option. What's up?
It's conflicting news stories, right? So you got a headline, Google lets Android users opt out of tracking, which was kind of what Apple does as well. And that's nice. It's kind of like an opt out of all the.
You mean, are you talking about when you go in and you just turn off location finding and you...
It'll actually prompt you to say, hey, do you want to not allow any of the sites that you're connected with through this phone to track you? And you can say, yeah, no, I don't want any of that. And so it's kind of like a blanket opt out, which makes it a lot easier.
You know what it sounds like to me? It's more of an environment where Google says, we'll cut off the apps from tracking you, but we'll track you.
And so they've resurrected. So back in 2019, I believe, they said, hey, we don't want to use this fingerprinting technology, which is basically just
which everyone uses, by the way.
And it basically it they said, oh no, we're not going to use it. Well, they've resurrected it, and they say, well, actually, you know what, we're going to use it everywhere, because we can't have a cost effective advertising business, which Google is an advertising business. It's one of their many things. So they're going to use digital fingerprinting, which basically looks at your computer or your television or your phone,
and whatever the connection is.
Whatever the connection is, and it says, hey, it looks like this. You have all these different apps installed, and it's very rare that you would have two people with the exact same computer setup or TV setup or resolution.
So everyone understands. We're talking granularity, because it's not only looking at just your computer. It says, oh, and you've got this setting set to this resolution, this kind of environment. And when you collect that in a string of data, dude, it's a signature. I mean,
exactly. And it's very marketable, because then they can say, oh, okay, look, all these devices are in this part. Like, even if, you know, you're using a VPN, maybe they don't have this, but eventually they figure out, hey, it's all coming from this IP address. Oh, and guess what? Garth's phone was next to somebody that works at Kmud's phone, for instance. And oh, look, so they must be connected somehow. And, you know, it's
anyway, it is what we're inference, you know, when, you know, you see that someone is by someone else and how data interacts. That's exactly what it is. And it's fingerprinting, because if, you know, you take your phone and you connect to the Wi-Fi somewhere else, you've just left fingerprint. Now, it may not be the company that's giving you the Wi-Fi. I think it is. And I think that, you know, for anyone thinking you're not being tracked, in fact, we've brought this up before. I watched a really good video where this company, they did this test where they took an Android phone, they let it collect data. But what they did is they faked it out. They made like a man in the middle, so they could see all the data that was transpiring.
They watched the flow of traffic.
Yeah, they watched the flow of all the data. So they did that. Then they turned around and they turned off all the options, you know, so that you were locking down your phone, you weren't tracking. Ironically, it collected at least 7 to 10 times more data, because it would then,
with all the tracking stuff.
Well, it wasn't tracking you properly, but what it was doing was sending ping information. You know, your relativeness to the wireless.
Right.
Device.
So it wasn't sending your granular location, which you can do with the GPS.
But it was more accurate in many ways, right? Because it was like a lot of data coming fast. You know, so they were just shocked. You know, the whole idea that, you know, I turned that off on my phone, but then my phone, you know, they're using other technologies to really, you know, triangulate. And now with the kind of, you know, and I've talked about this briefly, I'm not going to go into it, but with the antennas we have now, the 5G networks and the way they use this sort of, a lot of routers all have it. It's called MOMO or something like that, or MONO.
MIMO or something,
MIMO, it what it does is that it has a couple of antennas, multiple antennas, and it's able to say, I'm looking at that signal at this frequency, and it can say, oh, you're stronger on that antenna than on that antenna. And it makes it directional.
So you must be over this direction.
So
I'm wondering, I mean, there's a lot of news stories out here. Multiple cell phone companies are now, with the latest generation of phones, are allowing texting via satellite.
Yeah, that's a new
so I'm wondering how that plays into it. Do you get a little ping from the satellite to geolocate yourself as well?
But that's the whole point. You are. And Garth, you and I, you know, I brought up a story once where a company was getting awards for making it be able to use a satellite to receive Bluetooth from the Earth. And you and I looked at, you know, I remember bringing up the story. I was like, no, Bluetooth's supposed to be short distance. Is it? You know what I mean? If you got the right technology, it's there. You know, the data is there. It's just, you know, conventionally your radio doesn't pick it up, you know, but, and that's another thing, like the new Bluetooth standard just came out. It is a mesh network, and it also has improved the radio to go about a mile. So now all of a sudden, people who have devices that have this technology, they don't realize it. They're participating as a mesh network. And yeah, it's great. Now all of a sudden my security system or whatever it is that I got on this, you know, home controller kind of thing that's letting me connect to the garage that I can never used to, but this new one does. Well, ironically, it also lets other technology, the other things, piggyback on it. And you don't see it because, hey, it's connected. How great is that? So anyway, we are dealing with, you know, things are evolving.
We're trying to evolve with them.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
So do you want to talk about the effects coming up or about Chase Bank?
Let's just go over to Chase real quick. Chase is doing probably a smart thing because I know some people locally that have been scammed. And one of the multiple payment apps, it's not one I use, Zelle. Chase is blocking it, because it is used, there's no guarantee of, or there's no control of over returning your funds. Once you send funds through this app, it can, if you tie it to your bank account, it's more than happy to take your money out and send it to somebody else. And that's fine.
And no one ever sees it again. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're legit, it's fine.
Or at the moment they're legit. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it says whereas others like PayPal or even like Cash App and stuff, there's recourses to take and they're a little bit better controlled.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, I think we've mentioned to people before. You know, you want to send money or do money. I mean, let's face it. Don't use a credit card. It has a guarantee thing. You know what I mean? And that's what you buy your purchases on. You try to avoid using a debit card. And
yeah, avoid tying your debit card to one of these services. It'd be better to tie credit. Or I wish there was a PayPal used to have this thing, and maybe you used it. I was talking to somebody about it, where you could generate like temporary credit cards. You remember that?
If they do, I've never used it. What they have is they've gone to PayPal Credit, which, by the way, I've got to put a spoil in it. It works. Okay, it lets you transfer that money, but it also creates a disconnect. The people that you transferred the money from or to don't see the bank that's doing the PayPal credit. It's this weird. They made it so PayPal's in the middle. So I had a recent example where it was an eBay transaction. It was done in Canadian money. So then it became kind of a mystery when I called eBay asking them about the transaction. Couldn't find that dollar amount. Then when I called the PayPal credit, who had been the one who paid it, which has started this, they said, oh, we just see it as this number. But they couldn't tell me anything else about it. Now, in the end, when I researched it, I found the data that let me link the two on PayPal proper. But this is what these applications are doing. They become in the middle. They become a man in the middle, literally. And then you don't see who's on each side. Only they see who's on each side. People on each side can't see each other. So that's why we have a vulnerability. You know,
it's interesting because on the flip side, the other payment apps, I mean, I think Zelle included, like my Cash App thing, it's like you can turn on to make your transactions public. And some people do. I don't know why they do it, but they almost have a social media feed of like, oh, so-and-so paid their friend for coffee.
Yeah, or you know, what the heck? I mean, we're going from you want the people involved to know, not the world to know. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like,
kids these days, I don't know.
Paid for some dolphins to be saved. What?
Yeah. Maybe you want to brag about your stuff. But so I was thinking about something that is on a lot of people's minds. How is technology going to be affected by this new administration or our new presidente? And I just had written down a few things. And I just want to go over these real quick and then maybe we can go circle back around. But so obviously we've got a bunch of government restructuring and privatization going on. This Elon Musk with Doge is definitely obviously leading to some huge federal government downsizing, which inevitably will probably mean that private sector companies in the tech industry included are going to be hired on probably the, you know, top tier, you know, 1% of the tech companies will be hired on. AI policy shift, it's kind of like a move fast and break things type of shift, I'd say. Instead of carefully going through and making sure that, you know, we're not going to create the Terminator, one of the executive orders removes most of the AI regulations to accelerate the, you know, U.S. dominance in that space. Chips, the CHIPS Act, that's been modified. That was to, you know, give money to American chip manufacturers to make chips here. That's still going forth, but the proposed tariffs on semiconductors could possibly boost domestic production more. That might be a positive. It seems like all the big techs, like Google, Meta, you name it, they're all kind of pivoting their internal structures to match the new administration. They see that they see what the administration wants, and they're kind of following behind them, saying, "Okay, that's fine. Just don't, you know, don't do any antitrust on us, and don't regulate us too much. It's all good." EV stuff is rolling back. All the mandates and pollution rules are pretty much out the door. And a lot of that build back better infrastructure stuff, like building more charging stations locally and other things, that's all on hold. International collaboration with AI. We had kind of a deal going with the European Union and France to kind of work in partnership. That's kind of like, eh, that's out. And then just how tariffs are going to work. I know Acer and a couple of other companies are already telling me that they're passing on, 10% charges. So, you know, be prepared for a little bit of increase in the tech products you use. At least that's what it appears to be at the moment. So, yeah, that's all the good, bad, and the ugly of the administration in tech.
Yeah, that is a lot to unpack. So, just because I know I want to go through, I'd love to go through all of these, but I think I'll get so negative that I just want to target some that are, to me, relate to news articles I was looking at. There's going to be, this whole thing about not being able to charge your EV at home through a regular plug. It locks you into being on one of these, whatchamacallit chargers, we'll install it in your home, but then we charge you a small fee. You know what I mean? And it's like they're dismantling things so people make more money. You know, privatization of things at first sounds like, oh, yeah, that's going to save the government a lot of money. But in reality, it's...
Guess who pays for it?
people don't realize that, we're dealing with this whole thing where the Federal Reserve got created because we broke our connection to our money is worth that in gold. You know what I mean? And so we created the Federal Reserve and because it's called the Fed, we just think in the back of our minds subconsciously that it's our government. It's not. It's a private organization. And I think that we as a country are being snowed. I mean, look, Trump and this new administration are breaking things, and maybe we need to do it because it's gotten fat and bloated and whatnot. But unfortunately, it's also being an attack on anything that goes against, Elon Musk said he was going to do free speech on X. That's why he bought it. But if you say anything negative about him and you hit home, you hit a home run, you're out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You're kicked out or deprioritized.
Yeah. It's not free speech. You know what I mean? So, so we're seeing this kind of shift. You know, AI is another one that, Like this got me. It was a news article about, is things really changing? But the idea that the cops, we get reliant on AI and we're not thinking. Okay, it even makes us, it's already hard to get critical thinking. You know, you have people that watch one of the news media channels that maybe spews lies. And so at that point, they're not thinking. You know what I mean? And so now you're, so anyway, the point is that it is kind of scary that we're letting ourselves get involved. And I got to say, the CHIPS Act kind of thing, I think it's healthy to bring technology back to America. But the reason it left America was that we had a lot of environmental rules. And so all of a sudden, if a company wanted to make those chips, they really had to do a lot. EPA hurdle jump.
Right.
And so you could send it to Taiwan and they were glad to do it, And now we're dealing with the fact that Malaysia and Taiwan are saying, maybe not. And China, of course, And so, oh man, you know,
there is a lot to unpack in terms of
yeah,
that. I was watching it's going so quickly. It's hard to kind of parse. I can see some good ideas. I mean, Elon Musk is a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
Kind of scary to have him in some sort of positions that he's in, but
well, he might lead the way for a corporate country, you know, instead
yeah,
of it being,
I mean, it really does sound like a dystopian kind of corporate.
It might end up being a corporate country where, you know, he's saying he found stuff that, you know, there's someone getting checks and they're 150 years old, and truth is,
right,
they're not.
No, you know, and that was old software. Something that could be corrected. I mean, it's an ancient. It's not that 150 year olds are getting checks. It just looks like that in this old COBOL database.
Yeah, right. When you didn't have a date in it, it put in an old person's date from when the thing first. You know, they had a census.
And in fact, there's a hard set rule. It's even written on the Social Security's website that says, "Hey, if you're 115." We're cutting your benefits off. If we accidentally cut you off and you're actually still alive, here's what you do.
Give us a call. Yeah. Oh, no, there's no one to answer now.
Yeah, oh, darn. I mean, I could see some, I mean, talking about the ancient software systems. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe it would be better to have like some like AI type of thing running that government database. But, That could also be scary.
Here's the thing that's scary. There's already enough evidence that it looks like Brazil. You know, Brazil, if anyone saw that movie, and I've brought it up in the past, it starts off because a fly, some guy in some bureaucratic office, you know, kills a fly. It lands on the printer, and it changes the guy's name just slightly. So then all of a sudden, the printout with the guy's name, now everyone is chasing him. And I think this is what we're up against. AI hallucinations are real right now. There's been lawyers. In Montana, there's a major case where two lawyers got spanked really bad. And it was because they let AI do this stuff. And then the AI just made up case history to base its, you know, thing on. And it was like, what? So,
yeah.
We're you know, we need to have some regulations. We need to have some integrity. What we don't need is corporations running everything, because corporations are inherently greedy. And in fact, if there was a good president in the world, they would do two things. One, they would strip away the corporations have the same rights as an individual,
mm-hmm.
because they are not individuals. And two, they would rebuild the infrastructure before applying tariffs. You know, so that way, you are supporting the companies who you've rebuilt. So China kind of did this, you know, and so you don't make progress.
So you actually have the products that you're going to be tariffing.
Exactly. You identify who they are. You identify who you're going to go after, but you don't say a word until you've built that up on your own. Then you make that company strong. Okay. By doing it back ass words, you're an ass before the horse in the carriage. You know, you're not pulling your weight. You're just causing chaos. And that's the unfortunate thing we're about to see. Everyone needs to buckle in and buckle down.
Let me say that you're listening to Tech Mud right here on KMUD. 923-3911 is the number if you happen to want to call in. But yeah, it is interesting. It's one thing to move fast and break something when you're a tech company. It's another thing when you're dealing with massive government infrastructure. This is a whole new level.
Here's the idea. It's not to say that there's not merit to do stuff. You know,
no, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to be fixed.
There's plenty of bloat. There's plenty of problems. It's the knee-jerk way of reacting to it that's the problem. And you know what I mean? You know, if you were building our country, you would first use this to identify where you need to build. Then you put effort into building it, and then you spank all. Once you get them where, okay, yeah, we can make those chips ourselves. We don't need you. You know what I mean? Then you spank them big time. You know? And you put out there, hey, you know, there could be technology. I mean, one thing that pissed me off to no end was we went through this whole TikTok bullshit. Bull stuff. And... And it was this idea that TikTok is gathering data on people and China has access to it. Okay, great. That might be true. Technically, China probably, their laws make it so they have access to everything. Great. Then all of a sudden, we get, you know, this moronic kind of way of looking. Well, we'll just own 50%. That does not fix the original issue. All that does is say, yeah, we want in on collecting that data.
And we've already covered that data already, I mean, it's maybe yet another form of, maybe it's a little more granular, but there's nothing that is not out there and purchasable by a foreign government right now anyway.
Yeah, right. If a foreign government goes in and says, Lexus, we'll like buy every service you have. They've got pretty much everything on everyone. It's what the Visa and credit card companies and insurance companies all been using for years.
Yeah, no, it's just getting better and better in terms of the amount of data and how fine-tuned it can be.
Yeah, so you know what, Garth, I got to tell you, you know, I mean, this stuff gets me wound up. And, you know, my partner, I can't tell you how tight she's wound, but I'm like staying away because it's a spinning top. You know, I am not going to, you know, anyway, with that said, I love it when I see cool stuff at CES, man. You know what I mean? It's like my little.
Hey, you know, that's right. We had a whole show planned around CES from last month. And I don't think maybe we talked about two things from there.
Yeah, I had a list, you know, and you know what? Yeah. I saw so many, but, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was just like, I love that new technology is evolving. I also got to spank all the companies that don't put enough behind their technology. So, you know, you make something people will be dependent on, don't create an environment where someone can pull the plug. You know, I mean, there's constant, you know, Canon, you know, has been known for making cameras. They're going to charge you if you use your camera as a webcam. You won't be able to, you know, set all this granular settings that has made Canon who Canon is. It's just like HP trying to charge you for using
their... renting you the ink. No.
yeah. It's just this weird kind of, you know, somehow the greedy mongrels have been able to get CE, you know, big positions and make the company change. And it's sad.
What was the weird thing I saw at CES? I watched a little video of this. It was an electric spoon that mimics the taste of salt.
Yeah,
it actually it sends little, like, some sort of weird little electrical signals to your tongue.
Electronic thing where you think it's kind of salty. Yeah.
Yeah, and in reading one of the interviews with people, they're like, yeah, it actually did, like, taste like salt. I mean, I guess that's a good if you're trying to have a low sodium diet, I guess that could be a miracle come true for you.
Well, it could help, you know, for the person who, you know, I'm using my partner tonight. I get way too much. She tends to toss a bunch of salt before she's even tasted it. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It's just her way, you know. It's like, give me that rock salt or whatever. I mean, the sea salt. Let me put it on there. And you haven't even tasted to see if it's salty. You don't know if it needs it. You know, it's just some people are addicted to salt.
Hey, a little extra can't hurt. This is Tech Mud right here on K Mud. Thanks for engineering, Larry. He sent us a message saying that we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hey.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for a robust conversation. You were speaking to a point a few minutes ago about Elon Musk. And in fact, Elon Musk is... he's an intelligent man in a business sense. As far as being a rocket scientist, he hires engineers. He did not design Tesla, et cetera. My point is this, that Elon Musk is, along with Peter Thiel, who does have a Neuralink, and ostensibly Elon Musk has a Neuralink. I'm sure you're both familiar with Neuralink. Perhaps you could speak to that point.
I am. I didn't know that Elon had one, but I know that it exists, and I watched a lot of stuff on it.
Well, Peter Thiel definitely has one, and he's also a major shadow backer of a lot of the stuff that Musk is doing. And, you know, this gets down to the fact that Neuralink can ostensibly, the way it's designed, you can interface with an electronic piece of equipment – mentally. So I'm wondering, you know, if how nefarious that is, especially in consideration of the fact that Musk, and under the auspices of Doge, has shut down all of the oversight on the investigations into Neuralink by the FDA. That happened, I think, night before last. And also being able to examine records and look at who might else be competing for the military industrial complex is the biggest cost overrun for this republic. We have more money involved in our defense than more than half of the nations on the world combined. To my point, I would personally see Musk in this tech AI warfare. It's all fine and good to talk about eliminating overrun costs, but putting such vast power into the hands of people who are already benefiting hugely. Musk invested $280 million plus into Trump's campaign. He's already benefited over $1,000.
Yeah, it looks like it was a good investment.
Yeah, he's made over $14 billion since then. Yeah. So,
caller, I agree with you 100%. Giving someone that much control who is a tech, unfortunately, the administration are tech Nimrods. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Musk is tech knowledgeable. So, having that data, collecting it, he knows that he can then identify who are threats to him. And it is a powerful tool. Unfortunately, it's exactly the kind of bullcrap that Revelations kind of refers to in that, yeah, they'll know, they'll make sure you can buy or sell if you're not, they know who you are. You know what I mean? We're already, you know, we've all fought against this. I think that's where we don't have checks and balances. There's a part of me that admires Elon Musk because, you know, governments spend billions, trillions trying to do something, and he does it, you know, and gets away with it and improves on it, you know, and it leaves governments in the dust. So I give him great, great credit for that. At the same time, if he really wanted to be a good savior to us, then what he would do is relinquish from all his assets to where he's no longer gaining from them, and then do it for the benefit of the people. And
well, yeah, the caller had a good point of Doge firing the FDA employees. Well, they fired a lot of them, but they were also the ones that happened to be reviewing the Neuralink. So,
but it's not just Neuralink. No. This is much deeper than that. It's anyone who's in the way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's my and so when the person who's behind the president in the white in the Oval, where there's not supposed to be children, but Elon's child was there, where you can only wear a suit and tie, or you can't be in the Oval, but Elon was there with no suit and tie. And, you know, there are these background questions about who's the president, what did Trump, or the remarks that Elon's son made to the president, were those deep fake comments that child supposedly made about hush your mouth and you're not the president? Is that the kind of deep fake stuff that we can expect? But to my point about the centralization of that power, and this is the interesting point that I'd like to make, is that as you have recognized, these elders don't understand the tech. Musk is taking care of the tech. What about happens when Musk collects the incendiary evidence for the enemies list on those who think they're collecting the enemies list? That's some nefarious stuff.
But
thanks for the conversation. I thought it was enlightening for me. I'm not a huge tech head, and I learn something every time in your show.
Yeah,
Great. Thanks for your call. Something to think about for sure. And Neuralink is the way they pitch it, of course, is, you know, it's going to be helping people with paralysis and helping them communicate and control their computers and stuff. And I'm sure that possibly will be the case one day. I think only three people in the world have an actual thing implanted in their brain right now.
But there's been plenty of experiments trying to do this for years. There's other companies. Yeah. There's companies that do it without such an aggressive cutting into the skull. They do it, but headset. There's a guy in Canada that the agency used for years. You know, they would try to determine if you're lying and put thoughts in your head. And Because they could, you know, and it, the concept's been around forever. My biggest problem is, you know, we're delving into things we don't understand. And yes, we're going to learn a lot from figuring it out, but then we're going to cause things to happen that are unfair. And this is, you know, like an example, if you watched a news article on a crime and then they put something like that on you and they ask you, well, were you involved in the crime? And you reflect back on in your mind on what you watched, that means that it's in your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's a part of this that becomes, you know what I mean? It's a great idea, but it could be used in a way that's inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, man, I don't know. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of stuff go down. It's an interesting time. It's getting more and more interesting.
Well, watching all this unwind, you know what I mean? We haven't seen the effect. It's going to take a few years before we really see the effects, you know? And I think that people who don't have tech visionary knowledge tend to believe in the kind of puppets that say, I'm saving you. You don't realize it, but I'm saving you. And the people who can see things, they obviously they're seeing things. They're making it, you know, they're making things happen for themselves. So there's this whole realm of, you know, followers, and that's what they become. And so it's going to take a few years, you know, it's going to be like,
it's not going to happen overnight.
But there's the shakeup that's happening now, but it's going to be like, if anyone ever watched, Independence Day, you know, and the aliens are coming. And there was that group of people that went on the roof of the building and they're holding up their signs. Yay, we can, we love you. We wave for you. Yay. And then it zaps them. You know what I mean?
We could come up with a laundry list of movie metaphors to tie to what's going on right now. Actually, Don't Look Up. That was another good one on.
I wanted to go back to CES anyway.
We're getting close to the top of the hour. On a bright note, hey, maybe you should just tune out and just play some video games. Maybe you shouldn't watch the news just for your own sanity. On that note, the Nintendo company is at long last going to release the Nintendo Switch 2. And unlike their past, like, Nintendo's had a long track record of getting a successful product and then the next time they release something, ruining it. And then they start again and try
I'm still tied to the Wii. You know what I mean? I thought
the Wii was a successful product. The one that came after it, great. The Wii U, was the one that ruined it.
They totally did, man. It was so sad, you know? Yeah. And they did the classic corporate Apple thing where it's like, oh, you got it today, but tomorrow you want better.
But Switch 2 is coming soon. It's rumored to be not super cheap. Probably going to be releasing for in the $400 range, but that's about what you pay for a console. And they have not changed it very much, except upgraded it, made it look better, and it's still the same kind of form factor where it's portable, but not.
Bro, we are like a minute and 20 seconds before it cuts off the recording, and I got to say, you know, people are too quick to want things like AI-powered, you know, spice dispensers because it just, it's AI, it's so cool. And, you know, whatever. You know, we buy the next thing because someone told us to. It's sad, you know.
The American way, and more than half our economy is based on consumerism.
That may be changing as tariffs kick in, I just got to say.
Yeah, right. All right, well, this has been Tech Mud right here on KMUD. Thank you, Larry, for engineering. We will be back.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.